Hey friends, it's Rich here from the Unseminary Podcast. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We've been talking for the last month about Trained Up, and I really want you to check it out. It's an online training tool for ministry leaders like you to train volunteers, develop leaders, and teach the Bible. It's an online tool where you can create video course. Each course can have multiple modules, each with a mixture of video, downloadable files, notes, and questions. It really is amazing. Listen, if you've been listening to Unseminary for a while, you know that training volunteers is one of the most important things your church can do to prevail. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go right now on your phone, or if you're listening, you know, on a computer, go to trainedup.church and just sign up for a 20-minute demo. It really would be great for you. You could do it. Anyone on your staff can do it. It's going to be great. And then when you go to sign up, use the discount code UNSEMINARY and you'll get 25% discount for 3 months. That is trainedup.church.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, happy Thursday. It is Rich from the Unseminary Podcast. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're really excited that you decided to put us in your earbuds today and listen in on a conversation. I know you've got a lot going on in your church. It's the weekend's coming, and so it's that time of week where we're feeling kind of pressure, but I appreciate you tuning in today. Today, we've got Daniel Im with us. Daniel is a great leader. You really should be following him. He is a part of the team over at Lifeway Christian Resources. He's the founder and director of Church Multiplication for newchurches.com. He's recently authored a book that we're going to get a chance to dig into called No Silver Bullets, but he's a great guy. He's a good friend, and I'm just so glad he's on the show today. Also, just so you don't think that he's just like an egghead author kind of person, he actually is bivocational. He's a teaching pastor at the Fellowship in Nashville. And so, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. It's fun. When we first talked, I guess not first talked, but when we talked, I was in Canada and you're in the States.
I know. Now we've switched.
Now we've kind of flipped. So
do-si-do. That's how it works. One comes in, one's got to move out.
Yes, totally.
Moving in, you know, That's a problem. That's great. Well, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your role at Lifeway, and you know, give us a sense, because people may not, I don't know who would know about Lifeway, but people may not be a sense of what you do there and then what kind of your piece of the puzzle is.
Yeah, so Lifeway is Christian resources. So curriculum, books, B&H Books is our trade book publisher. So, I mean, do camps and I mean, really, honestly, there's a ton of things that Lifeway does. When I was pastoring up in Canada, and I was born and raised in Vancouver, the only thing I knew about Lifeway was that it published Beth Moore curriculum.
Oh, nice.
Like, that's
nice.
Literally the only thing, yep. You know, it shows my ignorance. But that's so when I was actually pastoring up in Edmonton, right before moving down here, Lifeway had this vision. It was a conversation between Ed Stetzer, Eric Geiger, and Todd Adkins. And they were like, hey, what would it look like if Lifeway were to begin resourcing church planting, mm-hmm. multi-site, and multiplication? Mm-hmm. And with my background in both worlds, in multi-site and church planting, mm-hmm. Just through a long string of events, my mm-hmm. wife and I and our three kids ended up moving down about 3 years ago to figure out what that was going to be like for Lifeway, and that's right. What newchurches.com is.
Right, very yeah. cool. That's very mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, it's a great resource. I know I have, and I've said this to Daniel off air before, but I have good friends that are kind of going in the church planning process. And when I tell them, I'm like, first thing you need to do is go yeah. to new churches, sign up. It's amazing amount of resource. It was so helpful. You know, it's great. So make sure you've checked that out if you're in that. Well, let's talk about your book. So No Silver Bullets. I've got it right here. It's fantastic. Why did you write this book? Tell me, first of all, great title. The subtitle is 5 Small Shifts That Will Transform Your Ministry. That is a fairly lofty claim. So tell me about it. Why did you write this book?
All right. Number one, I didn't come up with the title. I'm not really a gun nut.
Nice.
But it was just kind of, you know, thrown out there by the publisher. Mm-hmm. Really, it was this vision I had. I really see myself as the number two guy, mm-hmm. you know, in the way that I'm wired and in the systems thinking that I have. So even in my first book I did with Ed, Planting Missional Churches, and he was like, let's rewrite it together. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who knows more about church planting right. than you? What do you want me to do to this? So really, I came at it from the perspective of, okay, what can we do and enhance this book in regards to systems and discipleship right. and leadership development? Because that's really where I find my wiring to be. Mm-hmm. So in light of all that, I was like, hey, there are so many churches out there, and I've seen this time and time again, where you'll go to a conference or you'll read a book and you'll just see what that church is doing. And you're always trying to, you know, and we're given this advice a lot, right? Just look at churches that are a little bit larger than you, a little bit further ahead. And that's great advice. And I've done it tons, and there's a lot that can be learned, but you can't import what works there and expect it to work here without doing self-analysis. Mm-hmm. Right. So so with that in mind, and also in the art of war, Sun Tzu, every time I say that, I'm always like,
that's a funny transition. And also in the art of war. Oh, right. Oh yeah. What was that in the art of war? Yes. Nice.
So there's this, I love this quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. He basically says something to the effect of, if you know your enemy, you'll win half the time. If you know yourself, you'll win the other half. And so often in the church world and in leadership circles, we focus so much on the enemy. Now, not the enemy per se, but in terms of what other churches are doing, others, rather than really discovering and discerning, hey, why is it that I disciple the way I disciple, or lead the way I lead, or teach the way I teach? So part of the book, really, in the first half is saying, hey, here are five shifts, but if you want to understand the shifts, here's some self-assessments, here's some audits, here are ways to understand where you're at in order for you to implement. Mm-hmm. And then the second half is all about actually integrating those shifts into a discipleship pathway for your church.
Right. So, people who listen to the podcast will know I don't really have authors on that often. You know, if I want to turn this into an author show, I could. All the time people are reaching out from great publishers like B&H and looking for, to talk. And, you know, the interesting thing about this book, sometimes, you know, you pick up a book. I don't know if this has happened to you if you're listening in, and you read through it and you're like, I'm pretty sure this guy wrote this over like a weekend or something. This got some good insight, but it's like, or if it's like you read my book, you're like, I think he just pieced together a bunch of blog posts. That's basically it.
No, I loved your book.
But this book here, it is packed full. It's not just heavy. It's got a lot in it. It's dense. There's a lot of great pictures, which I know is a funny thing to say, but there's like great diagrams, which I think do help, drive the lessons deeper. But I'd love to actually kind of dig in the kind of shifts that you talk about here. There's five of them. So from destination to direction, from output to input, from sage to guide, from form to function, and then the fifth one, from maturity to missionary. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that one. Let's dig into why are you encouraging us to think about our own lives, and then obviously think about our ministry, really moving from maturity to missionary.
Yeah, part of it is this whole dichotomy, and I know we wrestle with it a lot, and there are people who say, oh, you know, systems are bad, or you know, there are people who say all you gotta do is preach the Bible, right? And we're taught in seminary. I love you know, the unseminary, right? Yeah. But I remember being taught in seminary. I did seminary over 8 years.
Nice. You're that
because
guy.
Yeah, I am that guy, and it's because I always wanted to do it while I was serving at a church and while I was on staff. Mm-hmm. So it took me longer, but I was able to implement it. But what was interesting is I had one professor that even said, hey, you're never going to have as much time to devote to seminary and to studying. So if you have an opportunity to serve at a church, just don't do it. Because you need to devote more time to your studies. And I was like, no, that's the opposite.
Yeah.
No, completely. So in light of all that, there are some people who really believe and they're taught, hey, you got to spend 30 hours on a sermon, sermon prep. You got to focus so much on knowing the Bible and doing apologetics and all that, that is somehow going to help you make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas what this chapter is all about is saying, hey, instead of making maturity your end goal, what if we made becoming a missionary your end goal? Mm-hmm. Right. Because our primary vocation is all the same, whether you're a missionary, you know, a plumber, a poet, or pastor, or whatever you do to get your paycheck, we all actually have the same vocation. Mm-hmm. The primary vocation, which is to make disciples of all nations. Secondarily, it's whatever you do to get paid, you know, to feed your family, to get food on the table. That's secondary, but we all have the same primary vocation. So this chapter is all about making that shift from, hey, the goal is maturity, to actually the goal is being a missionary. Mm. And when that's your goal, maturity is actually a byproduct.
And what does that look like in the life of, say, a leader? How would that shift? So you're maybe a leader today that they've grown up on that and have grown up on the idea that, hey, I just should acquire more information. I just should, you know, I should be the kind of input, you know, machine. What would be some of those shifts that you think would be evident in someone's life as they're becoming more of a missionary rather than just focusing on, you know, deepening their own learning or that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a little bit of, you know, what are the glasses that you're putting on, right? Mm-hmm. Or what's the lens that you view the world? Mm-hmm. So it's this idea of, hey, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do? Do you check your phone, mm-hmm. or do you get on your knees and say, Lord, here I am? Mm-hmm. Right? What is that thing? What are those shifts that you do? So I love what Community Christian churches and, you know, Dave mm-hmm. and John Ferguson, mm-hmm. they have that acronym BLESS, mm-hmm. right? And begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and story. And that hook, or, you know, that system or that construct or that paradigm really helped my previous church and the mm-hmm. current church I'm pastoring at normalize mission. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. where mission wasn't something that the pastor did or right. the evangelist did or right. or that you would do on you know, the when everyone invites someone to church Sunday.
right,
where it's not that thing you add on, it's actually normative.
Right. Very
right.
Cool.
So it's funny because there's this like 11-year-old at my church and mm-hmm. and the way we do worship is I think starting from when you're grade 5 or something, you actually come into the large worship service and mm-hmm. and there's youth nights and stuff that we do, but we actually have the teenagers as a part of our worship service. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this 11-year-old comes up to me after I preached about BLESS. And he's just like the most encouraging little kid. He was like, Daniel, Mr. Daniel, I just love what you have to say. It is so inspirational. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to begin with prayer. I'm going to share my faith with my friends. And like occasionally fantastic. He'll just come back up to me. And literally just this past Sunday, he ran up to me and gave me a big hug.
Right. Nice.
Right. And he was like just talking about how the transformation that's happening in his life mm-hmm. by using just something as simple. Now, there's a ton of acronyms out there, right? Like mm-hmm. BLESS, mm-hmm. BELLS. I mean, there's just whatever you use.
Yes.
You just it's that hook that allows right. you to normalize what is often not normal for most Christians.
Right. Absolutely. And I think we've come out of a generation where there might have been this idea of the professionalization of mission that, like you said, you hinted at that, right? That it was like we outsourced that to yeah. paid people and said, okay, you guys go do that. And, you know, the problem with that is it didn't work. And, you know, it wasn't God's plan for, you know, for humanity. And our job as people, you know, who happen to be employed or are in this, you know, vocationally, our job is to turn around and actually motivate other people to plug in and get, you know, dig deep into the mission. That's fantastic. Well, this, yeah. you know, this book, obviously, it does have it's got a personal edge to it. It's not just, here's a bunch of ideas. It's like, here's stuff that I need to be thinking about and wrestling through, which I really appreciate. Because sometimes I think ministry leadership books can just be like, you know, I hate to say it because it's kind of the stuff I write is like 5 ways to make your ministry better. Where this really is, you know, let's look at ourselves and wrestle through, okay, what's the Lord doing in our lives? How do we change? What part of this book did, as you were writing it, or maybe now that it's out in the world, was the toughest for you? Like, you know, there's that whole thing, the preacher preaches the message to themselves and you feel that. Was there one of these 5 shifts that was, you know, for yourself was kind of a shift and what was that and what did that look like in your life?
Yeah, Rich, that's a good question. I wish you had prepared me for that one.
Sorry, throw a little curveball there. Come on. You're a paid professional communicator, Daniel.
No, that's good. So this chapter, right. the one that we're talking about, is definitely the one that I wrestle most with. Mm-hmm. Right, and I wrestle most with it because, as you know, being a Canadian, I grew up in Vancouver, and I mean, I've pastored in Montreal, mm-hmm. where it's just, you know, less than 2% Christian, right. and you just have that difference. And then I move, so I've experienced that, and then I was pastoring in Edmonton, which is kind of it's the Bible Belt of Canada-ish, right?
Yep.
Right? But it's not anything like the Bible Belt of the States.
Right.
And then I moved to the buckle of the Bible Belt.
You're in Nashville. Your address is Lifeway Lane. Like you're literally at the center of it all.
Exactly. So as I'm here, it's just been so so different, so different for me. So 3 years ago when we moved down, we asked people to pray for us, and we were praying, Lord, help us land in a neighborhood where we can be the salt and light here in this neighborhood. And and we were really praying through where to go and you know, where to look. And look, I was looking at demographics. It just
classic church planner.
Totally. You know, what's the rate of newcomers? Ethnic, yes. You know, all the, I was just like, so I mapped out these neighborhoods. We landed in one, began meeting all my neighbors. I'm like, you're Christian. Oh, sucks. You're Christian. You're Christian. And I'm like, why are you all Christian?
Right,
you know,
right,
it was
right,
actually
right.
pretty upsetting for me. And obviously it's, you know, you look into it and they'll say they're Christian. Doesn't right. necessarily mean they are right. a, you know, a disciple maker, a professing right. follower of Christ. But it's interesting because the two neighbors, not direct neighbors, but ones in my neighborhood that we've really spent a lot of time investing in, praying for, doing life together, you know, praying that they would come to know Christ, they're actually both not from the South.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
One of them is from, you know, the Twin Cities area, and the other one is from Japan.
Yes, interesting.
Right? And it's just like, so shifting from this mindset of, hey, I'm preaching, I'm ministering in this environment where there are going to be people who don't know who Jesus is, mm-hmm. who've maybe heard of him a little bit, to this environment where everyone knows and thinks they are a Christian, has been a shift in the way that I've had to think and preach. Mm-hmm. So this chapter was like, how do I communicate this so that I can address both ends of the spectrum there?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's what was difficult for me.
That's interesting. You know, I know. I'm from Canada and ministered in New Jersey and in Toronto, and so, you know, these are definitely not Bible Belt areas. And I have been accused, or not accused. No one's accused me of it. I know inside I've always been, or in the past I had, like, you know, holier than now. When I thought about folks down south, I'm like, gosh, it's got to be so easy to be in the Bible Belt. But as I've journeyed more with leaders who minister in the Bible Belt, I'm like, man, I would not want that challenge. Like, that, it's hard. You know, you do have this, you know, folks who are, yeah, culturally Christian, but then what difference is that actually making?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, you know, here, I know you wake up and it's like, nobody in my neighborhood is thinking about Jesus. And that's kind of makes it easy in one way, because it's like, okay, I have a good sense of what to talk to. But, you know, you have to, people may say they are, and then it takes a while to navigate through all that. And it's interesting. It's cool, you know, to hear about that. So before we, you know, move on with the rest of the episode, if I want to encourage people that are listening in to pick up a copy of this book. I know, you know, it's a great time of year. Maybe you're like kicking off and you're, you know, looking for like a training opportunity. I think it would be a great kind of book to read through with your staff. If you're, you know, you have a lot of people with multiple staff, this could be a great thing. You know, read it over 5 or 6 weeks and plow through it. I think it could be great. So I would encourage you to do that. If people want to pick up a copy of this book, where can they get it, Daniel?
So you can get it wherever books are sold.
Nice.
But if you go to danielm.com/nosilverbullets, if you go there, there's actually, so let's say you do purchase more than one copy, or even if you just get one copy, there's actually incentives that I give.
Oh, great.
Where it's like, hey, here's actually the audits that are a part of the book, you know, in PDF form. Mm-hmm. Or here's if you, so there's a ton of churches where they're actually bringing their entire staff team through it. So I'll actually Skype in. I'll be like, well, let's do a Skype or a FaceTime. Right. And so next week, actually, at the time of this recording, I'm being Skyped into a church's staff lunch and learn.
Oh, that's great.
Right. So they're processing through it as a staff, and then they're going to ask questions. And so there's at that level, there's there. But I mean, there's a lot of those different resources that I just give you.
That's
team
great.
Discussion guides as well.
That's
just
so great.
Help you process it.
Yeah, Daniel is again, for folks that don't know, he's a very generous leader and really just wants to help churches. And so obviously I know he's involved in this vocationally, but he really is one of these guys that just gives and gives and gives. So, you know, I would highly recommend, before we move on with that, you connect with him and connect with his book. Before we move on to the rest of the episode, is there anything else you want to say about the book? Anything else you want to make sure that listeners that are listening in today get a sense of it?
Yeah, so on the one hand, you have, and it's interesting because I wrote it with the church leader in mind, right? And with churches implementing it together in mind.
Right.
But this chapter, or my input, my output to input goal chapter, where it's all about discipleship research and what it looks like to actually, what maturity looks like and how to move people towards maturity, a few chapters in the other section as well, are really designed for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see. You know, my wife is, I mean, obviously, my wife, I didn't ask her to edit it or even to look at her. Right. I didn't want to burden her with that.
Yes.
But I was like, oh, you want to read it? Sure. Okay, here you go. And it's really neat to see from her lens and from those in my small group and others who are not in leadership positions, what they're taking away from it and how that's affecting their relationship with Christ. That's one of those, I guess, bonuses that I didn't really expect.
Right.
But it was cool to see.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions to everybody that's on the show. Today, we've got Daniel M., thought leader, author, speaker, and a guy that has lunch and learns with people. Happy to have Daniel with us. And so what's an online resource? I'm looking forward to this because you're really super connected. So all these things, high pressure here. I'm looking forward to good answers here. What's an online resource that you're using that's helping you these days?
Okay, so I truly believe in lean, like just running lean, not overstaffing or anything. So administrative assistants are fantastic if you can afford them.
Right.
If you can't afford them, then the thing that takes up the most amount of time often is scheduling. And like you, Rich, I just love talking to other people. Like I just love scheduling this and meeting with people, but it's just such a pain to schedule.
Yep.
So I don't have an administrative assistant. So I actually use something called Vite. It's VYTE.IN.
Nice.
And I know there's a lot like that, like Calendly, and there's Schedule Me or whatever, but that one's pretty neat because it's beautiful. It kind of swooshes across back and forth.
Yeah.
But that way I just say, hey, here's my calendar. And they don't see the details of my calendar, but they see where I'm blocked out.
Yep.
And then they can actually integrate it with their Google Calendar. So they see theirs on top of mine, and they can just select all the gaps that work for the both of us.
Very cool.
And literally it takes no time at all to schedule something.
That's very cool. Yeah, that's really cool. That looks like a great tool. I hadn't heard of that particular one, and it has a very Apple-esque look to it. It's very pretty. The one I use is functional, not as pretty. So that's very cool. Good. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
So walking into bivocational ministry has definitely been new for me, right? Because when I would prepare for sermons or do it was during the day, right? And even if it was during the night, it was still kind of quote unquote work time, right? But being full-time here at Lifeway, I preach about every other week, and it's in the evenings I have to prepare or early in the mornings before work. So it's just been a different rhythm. And Hugh Halter, you know, when he wrote Tangible Kingdom and the book End and all this stuff. And I mean, I'd followed him for quite a while and just been so inspired as to, hey, what would that even look like? Mm-hmm. But I was a bivocational and, you know, churches, I always, I guess, found a church that would be willing to pay me. So, I'm like, you know, that's kind of cool, but, you know, I don't really need to think about it. But moving down here, doing this bivocationally now, I actually ended up picking up his book, Bivo, palled through it and just was so inspired as to what that would even look like. We actually brought him in and we, for new churches, we filmed a course on bivocational ministry. It's going to be coming out pretty soon. But just this whole aspect of, hey, if we want to reach the lost in this world, and if we look at rapid church multiplication movements, not to say you got to get rid of the paid lane. There's always going to be a place for that, I think. But we really need to discover what that Bible lane looks as well for us to multiply. So that's kind of what I'm wrestling with these days.
Very cool. That's really cool. We'll pick that up. What is another ministry that you're looking at that's inspiring you? Looking forward to this. You're really well connected. What's somebody you're looking at and you're like, that they do an interesting ministry?
Yeah, so Mark Jobe in New Life Chicago is it's inspiring because you got it's Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. So you got you got Willow there, you got Community Christian there, you got, you know, Harvest. I mean, you got just a ton of these solid and huge churches. And then you got a church like New Life Chicago, which isn't small by any means.
Right.
But to look at the way that he's empowering multi-site, right, where it's live preaching, right? And he's moved from, you know, hey, we're going to do a Google Doc or we're going to meet once a week and prepare together to where he's actually scaled it out to 25 campuses.
Yeah,
right? That was impressive enough. But recently he was sharing, hey, in the next 3 years, he wants all of his campuses, which really, I mean, they're campuses, but they really are their own church plants.
Right.
That's more the model. They're all own preaching and, you know, there's a lot of autonomy there.
Yep.
But in the next 3 years, all of them are supposed to multiply once.
That's amazing.
So you think about that, right? 50. You're like 25 to 75 in 3 years. Just the vision of that.
Right.
It's just super inspiring. So
that's a fantastic church. If you don't know that church, that would be I should try to get him on the podcast. He's fantastic. Yeah, that's a great church for sure. If you get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would that be with and why?
All right. So Patrick Lencioni, mm-hmm. Not to be all fanboyish or whatnot, but when he followed me back on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. That like, made your day.
No, like 6 months ago, I was like, what? Patrick Lencioni followed? And then I was like, is he going to unfollow me?
Yeah.
But he hasn't yet. Not yet. Nice. Even though I've talked a lot about no silver bullets. But it's the guy is just so inspirational. His clarity in terms of teams, organizational health. There's so much of the way that I think that's been really shaped by mm-hmm. the way he writes, the way he mm-hmm. presents, the way he's just so clear about organizational health. So that's, I'd love to talk with him.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. Well, I'm sure being bivocational, trying to keep on top of everything you're keeping on top with at Lifeway and that just life in general takes a lot out of you. When you just want to have fun, kick back, relax, what does Daniel M do to relax?
So I would have said squash 3 years ago.
Okay, nice.
But no one understands what squash is down here. Nice. They think of the vegetable.
Yeah, what? Well, you don't want to eat squash? What? I'm not sure.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So they're really no one plays squash down here. So nice. That's unfortunate. I love golfing. Okay. I've golfed ever since I was a kid, but it just takes a lot of time.
Yep.
I can't wait. I have an 8, 6, and a 3-year-old, so I just can't wait. You know, my wife has agreed that when our kids are old enough to do babysitting themselves, I can then teach her golf.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But then when my kids get a little bit older, I want to teach them golf. So then it's family time.
Nice. That's great.
But so all that aside, because they're not there yet, it's really Lego and cars.
Yeah, nice. Very cool.
So that's, you know, the age of my kids, but I love doing that.
Good. Well, Daniel, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Thanks,
I know you're a busy guy. If people want to get in touch with you, DanielM.com, is that the best place for them to do that?
Yeah. So if you go to Daniel, so Daniel, and then I and the letter M.
Okay.
Doc, you don't know how many stories and
right.
people are like, is that
don't look
it?
At anything
is
else?
Yeah. So DanielM.com. Nice. You'll find a link to my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that, and love to chat and connect.
Perfect. Is there anything else coming up in Lifeway world you want to make sure you talk about for this fall or or winter?
Yeah, so we have a pipeline conference mm-hmm. coming up. You were there last year.
Yeah, it's amazing, great.
So it's super cool to see just the number of leaders that are coming just to learn about leadership pipeline. Mm-hmm. And if I could leave our listeners with one thing, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're aware of Design to Lead by Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck. So that book is kind of like focused on leadership pipeline, mm-hmm. church strategy that way. Mm-hmm. So what that book is to leadership pipeline, my book is to discipleship pathway.
Oh, okay, great.
For a church to achieve the vision that God has called them to, you really need both.
Right.
You need a leadership pipeline and you need a discipleship pathway.
Right.
So that's so what I do here at Lifeway is really focusing on the leadership pipeline, the leadership side. Mm-hmm. So that's what that conference is all about.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Daniel. I appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.